I had a really stressful time, and wow, that's really loud. I have a really loud voice, so I'm sorry. It's like, hello? But, wow, they're all with me. All right, well, anyway, I had a real hard time with this message. I preached another message at a different church this week, and I knew exactly what to preach, how to preach it, and everything was like instant. And I spent like the last 2 weeks or so I knew about I was going to be preaching today on what to preach. And originally I wanted to preach a church building message, but it's Mother's Day. And it's not necessarily about building a church. And I was kind of, the first thing that came to my mind about it when I started praying about it was Hannah. Because there's nothing ever ill spoken of Hannah in the Bible at all, in any way, shape, or form. She's one of those like mothers that like shines out like all the other, like some mothers, like you don't hear a note about. But they actually spent time and talked about, basically about two chapters about her and what she did. And there was nothing bad spoken about her. She actually is a tremendous mother. Actually, I was looking in one of my commentaries, and they noted the very fact, like, you know, of being a godly mother. And I was troubled inside. I spent days just re-outlining the same passages again and again, coming to the same conclusions again and again. And I originally planned to, I guess you would say, like, do a biographical sketch of her life. But I thought there was so much that happened and so much she did that I couldn't cover it all, and I think with so much information you'd miss it, and I don't want to do that. And but last night it was about midnight when I stopped, and I came to what was not what I'm preaching tonight, but I came to the conclusion of what I had, and I was like, all right, well, this is what I have. I'm just going to have to go with it and trust God. And I asked God if He wanted to change my mind or change anything, well, let me know. You know, He could wake me up or do whatever He did. The good thing was He didn't wake me up, because I sure like my sleep because I'm lazy, but that's a whole other story for a different day. But the thing is, this morning, while getting ready, He spoke to my heart and was like, this is what you need to do. So I know the message you have today is from God. I don't know if it will be delivered like God wants it to be, but I know it's from God because it was outlined within like 15 minutes, which is awesome. Anybody who preaches and knows when God lays something on their hearts is like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. I toiled all the night long and had nothing. Kind of like the thing with them, and then it was like, just cast out your net. Like, oh, there we go. So that's what God did. So it's about a mother, but it's not necessarily about a Mother's Day kind of thing, but it is about a mother and her influence and what she went through. My title is God, a God-given affliction and a tremendous blessing. So it's a God-given affliction and a tremendous blessing. So I just hope that her life and her testimony, what she did and how she handled things, because it shows the influence of what one mother could do, but it also shows what any Christian can do in a given situation. So there's a dual application. So I don't want you to miss that, because even though this was a mother and what she went through and what she did, it's also what every Christian goes through and what a Christian can do to prevail in a situation. So with that, I want to pray before I speak anymore, because otherwise God hopefully will bless it. So we'll just bow for prayer real quick. Dear Lord, I thank You so very much for these people, Lord, who are honest about serving You, Lord, who have taken time out of their day, Lord, to be here. Knowing that the pastor's not here, Lord, they just have faithfulness and they love You, Jesus. Lord, I ask that this man, Lord, who's wicked and vile and so often up and down, Lord, and just so unworthy, Lord, I ask that, one, You'd fill me with Your Spirit. I ask You'd walk in our midst, Lord, and I ask that You'd speak to our hearts, Lord, and that You'd use these two mites, Lord, and do something great with them, Lord, that they'd glorify You. Just help us to serve and to love You better. And we thank You so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Am I too loud? Okay, yes, no? Okay. So we're going to go to Samuel, and I usually use a lot more Bible than this. I'm using basically two chapters and another half of it. I usually try to go for 40 to 50 verses, so then the Bible talks and I shut up. My wife is appreciative of that. But basically, so we'll start in First Samuel chapter 1 if you're not already there. And my key verses, I'm just going to read through verses 1 through 7, then talk a little bit more, and then we'll get directly into it, I guess you say. But now there was a certain man, and I hate these names, of Ramrothim, of the Mount of Ephraim, in the name of Elkanah and Jeroham, and the son of Elohim, this is terrible, the son of Tuah, and the son of Zohon, and I should skip the verse, and Yerophite. All right, so now I can read everything from after that, pretty much. And he had two wives. That's a terrible situation, but, you know, he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had two children, but Hannah had no children. I want to draw your mind to that Hannah had no children. And this was the source. Like I said, the very title was God-given affliction. And you'll see further on, but it was God's given affliction based on the fact that she had no children, was unable to bear children, that got her into this mess of basically her affliction, her persecution. And this man went up, talking about her husband, went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and had two sons of Eli, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. They weren't good guys, but that's a subnote. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and daughters a portion. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. See, there is the God-given affliction. The Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her. This is the other wife, her sore. For to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. See, once again, the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did, so as he did year by year, so this went on for a period of time, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. So basically what happened was, she was in this affliction in her life. And basically what was going on was, she was barren and unable to conceive children. And it was kind of like a reproach. Like, you know, like, there used to be a time back in the day, and I'm not speaking ill of anybody, and you got to be so careful with what you say, because so many common sins and things that people have that used to be frowned upon aren't, because they're so common, you can't, kind of thing. But there was a time in our country when if a woman was had a baby, or was pregnant, and there was no husband, or it was out of wedlock, it was a reproach. It was looked at poorly or badly. And it's kind of the same thing with Hannah, but it was in the opposite situation, because it was one of the glories of a woman, and the purpose of the woman was to be able to conceive. And that was like her crown, that was her victory, you know, to be able to give her husband seed so his name would continue. But Hannah was unable to do that. So basically, not only was she heartbroken herself because she was unable to conceive, but she had no idea that the Lord had shut up her womb. She had no idea that the Lord was behind this. That the reason that she wasn't, maybe she thought there was something wrong with her. Maybe there obviously was nothing wrong with her husband, because with his other wife, she had children. So it pointed back to her. She's like, what am I doing wrong? What have I done? Why am I in this situation? And that was the insult, but to add injury to the insult, she had the other wife, which I couldn't even imagine being a wife and having another wife to share your husband with. And I'm grateful I'm not a wife, nor do I have another wife to share her with. But see, the thing is, the fact was still, nonetheless, that so this other woman is there constantly provoking her, and like, look what I got. I got my two sons. Look what I got. I got my two sons. What have you given your husband? What have you given them? Nothing. Oh, look, we're going to go up there to the offering, and I'm going to get more, and my boys are going to get more, but you're not worth anything and everything else. And part of it was stirred because it said that her husband loved her very greatly and gave her a worthy portion. And then later on we'll read, I think it's in verse 10, but it says that, like, he's crying before her, and he's like, but, and the husband says, but aren't I, you know, equal to you as to 10 sons? Because he loved her so greatly and had a passion for her so greatly. But the fact was, she was constantly, it said, year after year. So every year they'd go up to the temple. So this was over a period of time. It wasn't like a one-time incident, like, you know, where he picked on her one time, or she picked on her one time. It was continually. I could imagine, and I'm reading in between the lines, so you'd forgive me. But the fact is, this was a continual thing. And then, not only was she causing hurt to her with her words and her actions, I'm sure outside the time of going to the offering, when they went up to the temple in Shiloh, there was other times where she was at home and whatever, and she was, you know, keeper of the home, and she was making clothing for maybe the other kids to help out, or doing a part of the household chores. And she would look at those children, and she would be bitter in soul and brokenhearted, because one, she couldn't do it. And then every time it was a remembrance of what she did not have, what she was unable to do. So all these things were working in Hannah, and it hurt her. But basically it said the Lord was the root of her hurt. So what happened was, because it said the Lord had shut up her womb. The Lord had caused this to happen, that she was unbarren. So what it did was, it made Hannah have a great deep down hurt, a deep down emptiness in her soul, in her life, in her physical being as well as spiritual being. She was broken. There was something that was missing that could not be filled. There was something that she had no power over to do. There was nothing she could do about the situation. And then she had somebody else causing affliction on top of making the very sore worse. Like if you ever cut your finger and then you rub, like it's weird where people are weird, like you had a sore in your mouth and you play with it. It's like, oh, I'll make it hurt more, I'll remember. But like basically that's what was happening to her. It was a constant pain. It was something that was going on. But the thing is, the Lord was the root of all this. The Lord was the root of her source of pain and heartache. And what I want to demonstrate by that is the Lord sometimes sends us Christians into things or causes things in our lives to happen that are painful, that are upsetting, that are terrible, that are hard to bear. And the reason he causes such a great hurt, the reason he causes such a great pain that he allows to happen is because he has a greater outlining purpose. Because it may be the very thing, which we'll see with Hannah, that was necessary for Israel to be delivered. Because she had to go before God with this pain, because if she hadn't had this pain, because God, it was no surprise to God going, well, he's going to marry this other woman. It was no surprise to God that if the womb was shut up, that this was going to occur. God didn't wake up and go, oh no, I didn't realize this was going to happen. He very well knew what was going to happen. And what happened was, because it was this God-given infliction on her life, this God-given pain that she was enduring, it was how she handled it and what she did that brought glory to God and allowed God to do a great thing. So a lot of times we go through things, if it's financial, if it's physical ailments, if it's problems with strife within family because of your standing for Christ, if it's problems at work because people persecute you for righteousness' sake, as the Bible says, or if it's just something that makes you a little different or a little awkward and you've always been picked on or ridiculed about it. The fact is, it maybe you've been given there, and I don't know for every situation because some things are caused by ourselves. But sometimes God does these things so he can work out a greater purpose. But only his greater purpose can be done by how we handle it. And I feel so often us as Christians, when we're put in a situation, I know myself personally, financial is one of the things that God always puts his thumb on with me to get me correct and get me in line and keep me praying. It's never been right financially. It's not bad, but it's just never been right. But God's always used that to keep me in check, to keep me praying, to keep me usable, to make me realize that it's not me. But the thing is, if God were to remove that very thing, then I would stop doing the thing that allows God to work in my life, because then I would be comfortable. But the thing is, I think a lot of times when Christians come into, I want to show you an example if you want to, for me, if you want to go to Mark chapter 6, verse 45. But basically what happened was, this is another example, which this is a very familiar story that you know, that God sent somebody into affliction, into hard times, and he handled it poorly. And then it didn't bring any glory to God, and it definitely brought no glory to them. And the thing is, the fact is, I'll show you after this, but Hannah handled the situation so well. Hannah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And because of that, God was able to bring a great deliverance in her life, the people around her, and everybody was affected because she handled it right. But I think so many Christians so often, what we decide to do is we'll get into a trial. I know we've all been there. I had a time with our car, me and Annie, a long time ago. And we got, and Paul and Travis were there, but we got ripped off by a mechanic. We didn't have any money. We didn't have good enough credit to get a vehicle. But instead of panicking and freaking out and crying to everybody why I couldn't fix the situation, it was one of the few times I can remember that distinctly I went and I prayed for about 5 hours that night. And just ask God that if he'd be merciful and he'd do something. And the next day we got approved for a loan and her grandmother assigned it and we never asked. And that was something that God did because I handled it properly. Because the affliction that had happened, the incident that had happened that had drawn me away, that had caused an obstruction in my life, that caused me pain and ailment, I had no idea how my wife was going to get there. I handled it the proper way. Not saying that I'm better. There's other times that I haven't. But that time I handled it properly. But like you said, if you go to Mark chapter 6, verse 45, but you know this. This is all about the disciples going into the ship. It says, straight away he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. So who constrained him? Jesus did. Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go ahead of me and get into the ship. I want you to do this. So God is the one who's telling them to go. So it says, straight away constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go the other side before unto Bethsaida. While he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and alone on the land, and he was alone on land. And he saw them toiling. So the Lord knew and saw very well what was happening. And he saw them toiling and rowing of the wind and that was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. But I'm not going to continue on with the story, but the fact was, the Lord had sent them into that. The Lord had caused that to happen. He very well knew what was happening, and he even saw them afar off in the storm. So he sent them there. If you notice what's going on, they're all panicked. They're all freaking out. They're all not having a very good time. They're sitting there rowing, trying to control this boat. So they're on their own power, trying to get out of this situation, which they were unable to. The storm was so strong, it was fighting against them. And then Jesus comes there and says, hey, don't be of good cheer. And then they're still panicking and freaking out after the fact. And the thing is, they had the very Christ there. And it says later on, they'd forgotten that he just made all the loaves of bread and the fishes. They'd forgot that already. They just totally forgot it. So what happened was, instead of them being able to be trusting in God and trusting in his deliverance, and that God had sent them into the storm and to prevail over the storm, and to just trust and to pray and to ask for God to help them, instead they tried to get out of it themselves. Instead, they were worried about it. Instead, they were trying to control the situation, which they had no control over. And I don't know how many of you, when you've gotten into hard times and afflictions and things that were not going your way, that you were like, how is this going to happen, that you've tried to do that. I've done that several times. There's many of times that, I guess I'm the only one, I have a few heads nodding, but there's many of times that I've been in a situation that I've tried to take control over that I had no power to do. And instead of doing what Hannah did, which we'll talk about, I went and did my own thing. And then one, God was never able to bless it. And two, now I'm stuck in a storm of my own. Now Christ was still there, but until I call on him, until I ask him, until I get him involved in the situation, I'm on my own. And I have to grow from that point. And I have to realize that. But it says, the Lord was the root of her hurt. So she was barren. She was being provoked. She was in a hard time. She was a broken heart, broken spirit. Things were not going well for Hannah. And she had a reproach upon her that she could not remove. She was in a situation that she didn't even cause herself. She didn't make it happen. The Lord allowed it to happen. So another thing is, Hannah went to the one. My next one is, Hannah. So my first one was, the Lord was the root of her hurt. And Hannah went to the one who could fix it. And that's the thing that we need to do as Christians. There's several things that she did. And I hope that you grasp a few of them. Because I think if you use a few of them, it will be more than enough than if you use none of them. But if the next part of it says that, so Hannah went to the one who could fix it. In Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. I just want to show you some things. I want to maybe read through it all. If not, we'll see what God allows me to do. It says, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. So she was in bitterness of soul. She was hurt, deeply hurt, and grieved. And what she did was, because she was deeply hurt and grieved, and her soul was hurt. And what that means is her person, her intellect, her feelings, her emotions, her person, she just felt broken. And she was in bitterness, and she was just overwhelmed with emotion and hurt. It says, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So the first thing, I'm going to show you again, but she prayed to God. She realized that she had no power or ability over her situation. So what did she do? She humbled herself, which I'll show you, and she prayed to God and asked God. Asked God to do something in the situation. She knew she couldn't do anything to open her womb. Maybe she didn't take enough vitamins or whatever the case would be. But she knew everything she had tried up to the situation had failed. But since she didn't do anything. So that's a testimony to her that the first place that she went when she got to that place that she couldn't get out of was to God. She prayed to God. And the next thing she did is she wept. So what she did was, it says that she went and she wept in tears. And God notices her tears. God notices her hurt. And so often we're in such a callous society nowadays that we can't cry, or it's weak to cry, or that we shouldn't cry. But she cried out to God because she was so hurt and broken on inside. She wept before God and she prayed to God. What did she do? What did she pray about? What did she do? She said in verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, which I'll get back to that, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on my affliction of thy handmaiden. She was humble before God. She referred to herself as a handmaiden, which is bringing herself to a low estate. But she humbled herself and she wept and she prayed to God. And to remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man-child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. This is something a little off, but I always found it interesting. As far as I know, she's the only one who decided to give the Nazarene vow to her son. Like with Samson, somebody, like God, the angel said, you're going to do this. Or with John, the angel said, you're going to do this. But she actually said, if you give me a son, no razor will touch his head. He'll be Nazarene from his birth, which means he'll be separated to God, which I think is pretty cool. That says something else about her and how she viewed God and the purposes of God work. That she said right from the birth, said, it's yours. So what he did was she made a vow and she said to God, I said, all right, God, I want you to lift this reproach from me, so I'm going to make a deal with you. He said, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And not only that, I'll set him apart to you for your service. So she went there and asked God to do something to deliver her out of that. She wasn't praying about any other children. She wasn't praying about getting her enemies back. All she was praying about was to get the reproach lifted, to get that hurt removed. And then if God would do it, she would glorify God with what he did. And I think a lot of times God will deliver us out of our situations. We'll pray before him, we'll weep before him, and we'll seek him. And then we'll be like, awesome, I'm out of the situation. I was so smart. And the thing is, we didn't do anything before that time, and we were not so smart. But what happened was automatically when the weight was lifted, we're like, great, look what I did. Let me show you what I did. I'll show you how I did this. And the thing is, what she did instead was, if the weight was lifted, she was going to give it back to God and to glorify him in it, and then was going to show God strong in the situation. So instead of taking God's glory, she was giving it all back to him. And said, well, if you do this, if you give it to me, I'll give it right back to you. It's like us, and people be like, God, if you get me a job so I can make a little bit of money so the times won't be tough. So, all right, now we got extra money. Instead, it's like what we could do is, oh, God, I'll give you more money now because you've blessed me in that way. I'll use it for your purpose to reach souls. This is not about money, but just about when God delivers us out of situations, when God shows him strong on behalf, hand, do we glorify him in it? Do we give it to him? Do we let other people see what he's done? Do we express that? Do we show that? Do we just demonstrate it? And it says, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli marked her mouth. And Hannah, she spake in her heart. So her prayer was heartfelt. It was deep within her. It was the groanings that couldn't be uttered because she wasn't saying anything. It was all internal. She was so brokenhearted. And the thing is, I think so often we pray as Christians, we're just in not afflictions or things are kind of tough. We'll just pray and be like, dear God, if you could do this for me. And there's no heart behind it. There's no brokenness behind it. There's no desire. And the thing, a lot of times I think it is, one is it's not bad enough. Or the second thing is the fact is we just don't believe that he can. Or that we've, as Travis said one time, I have never left me, is the fact that we've given our hearts away. So when we came to God, there was nothing left to give. And the thing is, she went before God brokenhearted and spoke deep within her heart. And said, and I like what it says up in 12, it says, and it came to pass as she continued praying, so she was continuing prayer, and she continued to pray and continued to pray and continued to pray about her situation. She didn't do a Burger King prayer and just leave it alone. She didn't microwave the prayer and be like, dear God, just do this for me, which I know we do that when we eat because we're Baptists and we're hungry. But see, the thing is, she continued to pray about the situation before the Lord, and Eli marked her mouth. And Hannah, she spake in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunk? Put away thy wine from me. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. She was sorrowful in spirit. She was broken and crushed inside. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And what I think what she did, and I hear about it a lot, and old preachers talk about it, but I don't see very much about it. There's only been one or two times that I've done it. But what she did was, she had a burden and a heartache that was so bad that she decided, I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to seek God's face. I'm going to continue to pray and go until I know the Lord has heard me. And what they call that in the old days is breaking through. And what that mean was, instead of us, when we go and say, "Dear Lord, I have this prayer," and we lay out our prayer requests, like our laundry list to God. "I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. If you could do this. And by the way, if you could just bless that person, that'd be great. And by the way, if you could do this for me too." And we get done. We get through our list. We spend our 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. But what happens is, we don't go until we know for sure that we've gotten a hold of God. Until God, the heaven, we've repented of our sins, we've cleansed ourselves, that there's no reproach, there's no iniquity in our heart, that we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and we've sought and we've sought and we've sought, and we've gone without eating, we've gone out without drink, we've just said, "You know what, I'm going to get a hold of God in this situation." And the moment that I've gotten a hold of God, and I know that He hears me, then I will be satisfied. But that's what she did. She continued in prayer and kept on praying and kept on praying. And she had a sorrowful heart. And she kept on going until she knew she had gotten a hold of God. It says, Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said unto her, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him." So basically, he'd gone, and then what happened was, Eli came up and saw, and she was so brokenhearted, and she's like, "You can go now. God has heard your request. It will be granted to you." So what she'd done was, she'd prayed through her affliction that she had caused, and continued to pray, and continued to pray. It says after this that she ate. So what happened was, she'd fasted as well. She was fasting in her situation. She didn't break. She just continued to pray. And it says afterward her countenance was changed because she was so brokenhearted. So at that point there was relief. She knew that God had heard her and heard her request. But what happened was, she was brokenhearted, had a reproach. Things were terrible. But she prayed. She fasted. She sought God, continued in prayer, kept on praying, kept on praying, poured out her heart, gave her heart to God, had a broken soul, just kept on praying and kept on praying until she knew God heard. And that's the thing, I think sometimes when God is just about ready to answer our prayers, if we would just push a little bit farther, we stop. And then what happens is that blessing's removed. Because we just had to wait, just like how it was with Daniel, waiting for the angel. God had sent one, but he had to continue to pray until that angel would come, until he'd gotten the very thing he asked. I think we give up so often, so quickly, when we don't see the being answered instantly. And I don't want to turn there for sake of time. I don't even know how long I've been going, you poor people. All right, we're good. I'm only at 26 minutes. But if you want, actually, we'll turn there. If you go to Matthew chapter 6, I do appreciate you, and I know I'm not as good of a preacher as Pastor or Brother Andy. So I'm just happy that you're sitting there and haven't walked out yet. My wife's like, "You're preaching," and I'm like, "I'm so sorry. I got excited about waffles." But if you go to Matthew chapter 6, and I want to show you, I think, what... And you say, well, Eli saw her. I don't think it was her intent or purpose when she was there to pray, to draw attention to men. That wasn't her purpose. And I was reading something that it was tradition, as it is still in Israel today a lot of times, that they pray out loud. They make loud, bold prayers. But she wasn't doing that. She was praying within her heart. And her lips were moving. And that was because she was so deeply... So I don't think she went there to be seen of men. So she went there to lay her petitions before God, to be seen of God, not of man. And I just wanted to show you the things that the Bible says about it, because I think it's so important. But it says, where are we at? We go, all right, well, where do I want to start? That's the alms. We'll skip the alms. All right, so we'll start at verse 4. And it says, "And thy alms," oh, we'll end it there. "The alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." So that's talking about like your alms and your gifts and stuff like that. But it says that God would reward them openly because it was done in secret. But I want to go to the prayer part. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which is in, seeth thee in secret will reward thee openly." So that's one thing. And then I think I went to the fasting part too, which is really important. Let's see where it's at. We'll go down to 16. It says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be appear unto men in a fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head with head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. And what that is based, I just want to show you that the fact that when we do these things, when we go to God, and there's a multiple things. There's one thing going to your brother, friend with the brother Andy, and said, you know, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray for me for this? But I'm not going to make this big, huge deal out of it, because at that point, then I may say I'm trusting in God, but really I'm hoping that somebody in the church is going to pick up my weight and come and deliver me out of the situation. Instead of saying nothing, I'm saying anything like, you know, Travis. I remember one time Travis called me with a bad reason. He was like, I'm struggling. Just pray for me. Didn't even tell me with what. He didn't want to talk to me. But he just wanted another brother to pray for him. That's one thing. But instead, he didn't run around freaking out and going crazy. And then when he did his thing, and he said, oh, yeah, and he went before and the man is like, aren't I spiritual? That'll never get anything of God. They'll get nothing of God because God's not in it. But what she did was she didn't want to be seen. She wasn't trying to be popular. She just prayed before God. And she was just a broken heart and just fasted. And she kept her need to herself. And she just went with a broken heart. But I just want to make sure that you get that whole, that we should never do things to be seen of men. Because I think that's a little spin off of this. But it says, so the Lord was the root of her hurt. Hannah went to the one who could fix it instead of going to the men or other ones. Now, the conclusion of the whole matter says, the Lord rewarded her openly. And that is so awesome. When we pray to God and we have a deep hurt, and so we've done everything that we could to do, that we know to do, the Bible says to do, to go to God with the situation. And then when the God comes through and he gives us victory, and we're like, yes! Our mighty God of Israel, he's still alive today. He's delivered us. He's delivered me. He's given me victory over the sin. It's a struggle. It's a hardship. But God's, like how Brother Andy was moving out here, I'm sure it was hard and it was difficult because he had no idea where to go. But he just went and he prayed and he trusted God. And God delivered him. Now God has the glory. And he knows God wants him here because God has provided. But the thing is, right here it says, the Lord rewarded her openly. So if you go to 20 through 24 in that passage, it says, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of him of the Lord. And the man of Elkan and all of his house went up to offer unto the Lord a yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto the husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and when I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. So basically they are saying, now, because I've received this child, because I've received my request, I'm giving it back to God, and that's where he's going to remain. And then Elkan, her husband, said unto her, do what thou seemeth good, or seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until he was weaned. Then when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and Ephron and flour and the bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew the bullock and bought the child to Eli, and said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord for this child. I prayed, and the Lord was given me my petition, which I have asked him. Therefore also I have lent him unto the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So basically at that point, the Lord had granted her petition. She even gave glory to God. And she went through with what she vowed, which is very important when you vow. It's a little, but you always give to God what you said you'd give to him. But God had given her what she wanted and lifted the reproach that she had. So now the other mother could never pick on her that she never bore a child. But now she went and gave that same child that she promised back to God. And now he was to serve God. Now that's a good thing for Mother's Day, is when we do have children, we have children, our whole purpose should be to have our children serve God, to have them in the Lord's service, and to do those things and live that example that they will do that. But that's the purpose of every Christian should be. That's the purpose of every mother, that our children should be given back to the Lord and put into his service. But she did that, so the Lord had lifted her reproach. And now what happened was, all right, so the Lord lifted her reproach, and she went through with her vow. So what of it? So what's the big deal? You know, there's other people in the Bible who've made vows and kept it, and God did stuff. What's so unique about Hannah? Well, one thing was, there's her only first child. There was no promise that she was going to have another one, and she went and gave her first. She could have kept it back. I don't think it would have worked out very well for her, but she still could have done it. She had that free choice, but what she did was, she knew she made a vow, and it was to God, and she believed God enough. and trusted God enough that when she received the promise, she could give it back to God and let God have rule over it. So what happened of Hannah? What happened of Samuel? So what happened was she kept her vow, and it says on in verse chapter 2, it's funny what happened. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God.'" So basically she was praising God, but what happened was the Lord had given her a horn, which that means a power or strength of something, gave her a horn that would be exalted. The Lord would exalt her son. Now, if Hannah, and I'm going to give you a little bit of the forward story because it's really important, but the fact was, if she had not been brokenhearted, if God had not brought the affliction into her life, if she had not handled it the way that she did, Israel would never have been delivered. The Bible doesn't say that it wouldn't be. There would be no delivery for Israel. That her son ended up doing. You never heard about any of the other woman's sons or children ever again, other than that one time. Because the Lord took what she gave, what she had asked of the Lord, and lifted it up to glorify him and bring deliverance. He became a mighty prophet and a judge over Israel. He actually brought Israel back to God when they were going off in idolatry and everything else, and the priesthood was all messed up. Why, though? Why? Well, there needed to be a deep hurt and grief for somebody to pray and to seek God's will and face to have God bring deliverance. And then when God brought the deliverance, they gave it back to God and gave him the glory for it and let God use it for his purpose. But all these things were necessary, because when we're not hurting and we're not in grief, we don't pray because we're comfortable, and especially in America. But we need to be hurt and grieved. We need to have a deep hurt and sorrow, because it's the only thing that moves us to prayer. It's the only thing that brings us before the Holy One of Israel for any deliverance to come. And that was all things that were necessary. And it's all how you handle the trials and the reproaches and the difficulties to what God can do with it. But it says basically, you know, what is it? So, and what came of Hannah? She had more children. If you go to chapter 2, if you want to go there, verse 21, it said, "The Lord visit Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child of Samuel grew before the Lord." So she gave one, and God gave her a whole bunch more back. She had no promise of it. She was just happy with one if she could give it to God. But what happened? She gave it to God, and then God gave her even more and blessed her greater than that. Then the thing that she sacrificed and gave to God, God used greatly to change and shake a nation. And that's what happened with it. And if you go, what you call, I think it's 3:20, it'll show you about Samuel and what Samuel did in brief history. It says, "And Israel and all of Israel from Dan unto Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord." So what happened was God used Samuel, her son, her sacrifice, what she had given glory to God in, to bring deliverance. That he was starting to set up a work to do something great in Israel again. He said that those days that the word of God was precious. But if it hadn't been for a woman with a deep hurt going to God in the right manner to glorify God in a situation, there's no promise that this would ever have happened. But what happened, so he was established to be a prophet, a lot better than the other woman who provoked her and never said anything about her children. Then if you go to chapter 7 and verses 3 through 5, this is "And Samuel spake unto all of Israel, saying, 'If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.' Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only." So what happened was, this son, this horn, that God had caused this woman to have grief and hurt to bring her to this situation, was used as a deliverer. And I know this country itself needs to deliver a man of God. It could be any mother here could have that influence and that ability to do that. Any person here can, if they go to God with a situation with a broken heart. But what happened with after that, then it says, which we won't go there, but in 7:15, it says that he judged Israel all the days of her life. So how did Hannah fare in this trial? She did awesome. What happened? She was in a hardship, heartache, broken. She prayed, she fasted, she continued to pray, seek God's face, pray, not quit until she got a hold of God. Then when she got what she had, she gave it to God to glorify God. And then God was able to be glorified and lifted up in a situation and bring deliverance. And I know there's many of us around that have people that are in bondage. We have a city that's in bondage. We have people around us in bondage. And we should be enough like Jesus was to have compassion, to be brokenhearted, and to go and lay our petitions before God and to pray, and to seek His face, and be humble before God, and trust that He will and that He can. But the thing is, so it's a personal application of how we handle personal trials, and it's also a cry for revival in this nation and what's needed to be done. That somebody needs to go with a broken heart before God and to do these things that Hannah did, that like in Israel, God can bring restoration and bring us back. So with that being said, I don't think it was too long. No, who will we go to as Christians? Will we go to the world and the things of the world? Will we go seek the things of men to fix our problems? Or will we go to God to fix our problems? Will we go around screaming and crying and going after people and being pathetic and saying that we trust in the Lord in heaven, but in our lifestyle and what we do, we don't show that by how we handle the things that we're in? Or will we go to the one who can fix it like Hannah will? Will we pray to the God of heaven? Will we trust in His Holy Son in His name that we will be delivered? Will we have faith in God enough to ask and seek His face? Or will we run around and cower? Or will we ditch out? Because there's ways of ditching out of trials. You can just sidestep it, but then you don't grow and God doesn't get the glory from it. You know, or should we handle it like Hannah? Will we trust in God to do these things? So with that, I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed, every head bowed, every eye closed, every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anybody here that would say in their heart that they've been through an affliction or a hard time, or that they're struggling with something right now and they don't feel that God's answered them yet, but they would go to God right now and start to make a promise to pray to Him and ask Him for deliverance? Is there anybody here that is in a hard time, that's struggling and needs deliverance, that there's something that they can't overcome or they can't compensate for? Is there somebody here who's having a hard time in their lives and they've realized they've gone to the things of the world instead of God, that they've went to the instruments of men and the institutions of men for deliverance, and instead of going to God and asking Him for deliverance? Is there anybody here that's heartbroken and can't fix your situation? Is there anybody here that's struggling with a deep down hurt, that's been reproached upon, that has been broken in heart? Is there anybody here that is struggling and is struggling to trust God? Is there anybody here who hasn't put their trust in the Holy One of Israel, who hasn't asked Jesus to save them, who hasn't allowed Him to be their Savior? Is there anybody here who's not 100% sure if they were to die today that they would go to heaven? Is there somebody here who's struggling with knowing where they're going with eternity? Because you can't have these promises if you're not saved. You can't claim these things for God to do if we aren't saved. We need to be in His fold, as the Bible says. Is there anybody here who's not sure that they're going to heaven? Would they raise their hand? Would they ask somebody to teach them how? If there's anybody here, if Tyler would want to play, and I'll have Brother Andy, if anybody is heartbroken, if everybody wants to stand, if you all would stand right now where you're at. And if God has spoken to your heart, and if you've not bared strong like you should, or if you haven't prayed to God like you should, if there's something that you're not trusting in Him about, if there's something that it's not right between you and Him, if there's something that you're going to the things of men, or not trusting in Him enough to ask, or believing that He would, if you want to come forward and ask Him and settle the matter now. God is forgiving, and God is willing to do a great thing and a great deliverance. God wants to help you, and God wants to be there and fight and give you a horn and give you strength in these areas that you struggle with. Is there anybody at all? If there's anybody to come forward, there's still time. There's still time that you can come forward and get it right with God. Even at your seat, you can ask God to help you and to deliver you and to take over the stronghold or the area that you're being reproached about or mocked. We should never be ashamed to go to God. We should never be ashamed to ask Him to help us. He's greater than us. He's mightier than us. Is there anybody here at all? Is there anybody else? There's some people who have come forward. There's people praying at their seats. I don't care about the things of men or the showing of men. I just want you to be right before God. I want you to seek Him and trust in Him, because then God will get the glory and He'll do great things in your life. You serve a mighty and great God. There's still people praying. You can come forward. There's still people praying. I just ask that God would work in your hearts and show Him strong on your behalf like He did with Hannah. Because the same God that Hannah went to, we can go to also. And he can give the same deliverance. And he can save a nation. He can save a family. A loved one. He saved our souls. There's no reason why he can't do others. There's still people praying.
It's a good message this morning. Take your hymnals. Turn to page 596. Let's sing this song together. Page 596. Oh.